a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Gnome Times, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One ohm at a time. And we want to remind you, as always, this is a live call-in show. If you are listening to it at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night. If you're listening to it as a replay, you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. Find the listing for tonight's show and leave your comments or questions on the Facebook line. But if you're listening to it live, you can call 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057 and be part of the conversation. One of the things we do like to remind you is we want your comments, your questions, but it must be respectful. Because in this day and age, there are lots and lots of disrespectful things going on. And not the only disrespect that happens here on the Dr. Kevin Show is between me and my guests. We get to disrespect whoever we want. The rest of you have to be the good guys. No, really. But we do invite you to participate and be part of the conversation. We're going to be introducing tonight's guest in a moment. She's making her return appearance on the Dr. Kevin Show, and she's going to talk to us about her new book. Da-da-da-dum. But before that, we are going to talk about the fact of my hot topic. For those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, remember, the hot topic is either something that warms the cockles of my heart or makes me hot under the collar. In this case, I recently put out my Dr. Kevin email that I send out once a month. If you'd like to be on my email list, you can go to mydrkevin.com. There's a place you can sign up. And then once a month, you'll get a little video and you'll get a discussion, updates what I'm going on. I always try to write a piece. This month I wrote voting as a spiritual practice and why voting should be part of your spiritual practice. And the thing I want to talk about is the people who And I want to be careful how I say this, which is unusual for me because, you know, I just usually open my mouth and let it rip. But the people who are saying, I'm a very spiritual person, but in good consciousness, I just can't vote this time for either of these people. I'm tired of the lesser of two evils. Well, you know what? I'm tired of the lesser of two evils as well. And we've done shows on things like the Anti-American Corruption Act, things you can do at the state level, which would change the federal level. We spend time on this show, and I spend time in my social media, and I spend time again in voting as a spiritual practice, as well as other things that I put out, talking about what you can do. But being spiritual doesn't get you to opt out from being part of what's going on in the world, because you do get affected by it. And if you're not part of the solution, as they say, then you're part of the problem. And, you know, I'm sorry if Bernie or Marianne Williamson or whoever, I wanted Pete Buttigieg. I did a lot of stuff for Pete, and Pete was my favorite guy. But no one is going to convince me that abdicating my responsibility and not voting and allowing Trump to do four more years is a good choice. But if it's your choice, it's your choice. But make your choice. But I want to put out there, you're not abdicating so much your responsibility as you're running away from it. And if you use that you're a spiritual person as your excuse, which has popped up, and I've gotten some blowback in that realm, that spiritual people are above getting involved in politics, I think the only thing that's really up is your head, and it's stuck up your now for tonight's guest, who will weigh in and see what she thinks about all of this. We've had tonight's guest on before, Corby Mitlid. Corby, I know you're here to talk about your new book. Catch us up on what's new and exciting in your world.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I'm going to ask you, first of all, to tell me, what do you think? Do you think being spiritual is a good excuse for abdicating voting?
I don't know whether this is where I have to watch the George Carlin Seven Words You Don't Say or not. Do I?
Nope. No, you don't
Bullshit.
Have to.
Bullshit. I'm sorry. Being spiritual means caring for those around you. And if you see they are being bludgeoned by bad laws, cruel circumstances, not being fed, not being cared for, and you know your vote can make a difference, hell yeah, you vote. I have done spiritual stuff for years. I phone banked for Biden. I phone banked for Antonio Delgado, who's our representative. I phone banked for Jim Barber, who is our state rep. I have contributed not only to Biden, but to other Democrats that I thought could flip the Senate. And I did it because I care. I'm sorry, people who say, but I'm sending love and light, that doesn't feed people. It doesn't stop wars as fast as it needs to. Being spiritual means taking responsibility. And part of that is responsibility for the country where you live.
See, I knew there was a reason I loved having you on the show. Tell us what you
really think. Honey, I don't do the glurpy purple with angels thing, and you know it. Never have.
I know. No, I know you don't. That's one of the reasons why we get along so well, because you don't do that. But, so good. I do want to let people know that if they are interested, I am going to post the link if they want to see this particular video and this particular article, Voting as a Spiritual Practice. I will post the link under tonight's show. But that being said, we're going to move on and talk more about something much more fun and hopeful and inspiring and interesting. That would be you, Corby.
Thank you. You're so kind.
I'm every kind, honey.
Okay. Do we have, like, you know, a Kevin marked with the day of the week? Like, people used to have Andres, you know, this is my Tuesday Kevin, this is my Wednesday Kevin.
So, what a... Okay. So, now on a serious note, well, not too serious, but what I would like to hear about is this new book, and it is very coming out at a very interesting time. So why don't you fill in our listeners a little bit about the book? I'm going to be very honest. I've had a chance. I got the book. You sent it to me. Thank you so much, along with those lovely cards. And I have it, and I've looked at it for about 2 minutes. I'll be very honest. I am so slammed these days through my client practice and all my other things. But I am going to get to look at it. So talk to us about your new book, what made you write it, and how it applies in 2020 and 2021.
Okay. The book is called You've Got the Magic, Who Needs a Genie? And the subtitle is The A-Lister's Guide to Holistic Expo Success. Now, from about 2002 to March of this year, I was doing 45 weekends a year on the road, spiritual expos, psychic fairs, things like that, to the point where my nickname from the late, great Allie Cheslick was the Travel Channel. But all of a sudden we got into the year that is referred to as, you know, the year of Hold My Beer, the year of Murder Hornet Bingo, whatever you want to call it. And of course, that's when the book came out. But in there is everything that I learned over the past 18 years. I'm 65. I am coming off the road. That kind of a schedule was great when I was in my 40s and 50s, and in my 60s, it's tough. But there's no reason that I can't pass on every single thing I learned to the next generation, because, yeah, we're all holed up right now, but the big bug adventure will eventually end, and there will be expos and fairs again. There's an old saying, when a fisherman can't fish, he mends his nets. And so that's what this book can do for people who are already doing the circuit, people who want to get started. So it's broken up into five pieces. The first one is the basics, choosing which fairs to do, designing your booth look, dress for psychic success, and choosing a front person. But then there's the social approach, the intangibles, the keys to self-care, the grab bag. And there's a lot of information there that you can still use now. You want to learn how to network with your clients, you can still do that now. You want to learn how to do advertising. You want to learn how to do webinars and workshops. It's in here because I want people to be a success. They don't necessarily need to come to me. If everybody has a certain level of quality and professionalism out on the circuit, the old saying, all boats rise. All of us are going to look good.
So, you know, it's very interesting because I'm hearing what I suspected I would hear, or I was prepared to point it out if I didn't hear it, which is from my brief look through, flipping some pages and some titles, I'm like, this is really about promoting yourself in your spiritual business. And it's done with that backdrop of expos, but so much of it is cross-applicable. And in some ways, it's the perfect time for the book to come out. Because
never argue with the universe. It does what it does, you know?
Yep. And I say that it's the perfect time for it to come out because I've seen more people decided that they are getting pushed off the cliff of following their dream of having some kind of holistic or spiritual practice. Because the world that they knew that was dysfunctional but functioned and they were afraid to leave behind has now been torn from their hands.
Yep. Yep.
And so, go ahead.
If you're supposed to be here, the universe will get you here. With me, I found it interesting that the universe wanted me off the road. Last year, in the middle of everything, I got a pinched nerve and herniated disc, and baby, I have never been in that much agony in my life. And I'm better from it. You know, I'm not in pain every day, but the doctor said, your traveling days are over, babe. You can't take the hours in a car. You can't take the load in and the load out. So the universe gave me the heads up last year. I needed to transfer my career online. So when the big bug hit with me in the spring, I was already prepped. However, people need shows. They need expos. A lot of people need to have the face-to-face. They need to touch your stones, your crystals, your jewelry, your books. They need to look you in the face and know that you care about what you're telling them. So there will always be space for expos and shows. And yes, now is the time to look at it, try things out, because it's not like you have 30 minutes to look at your script and now you have to go on stage.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and that's some of what was striking me about this whole process. And, you know, I think it's interesting because I look at kind of where the universe, you know, the universe opens it up, and if we drag our feet, then, you know, we might get a few scrapes and bruises along the way until we pick them up.
Say, okay, obviously this is the new direction, because I'm tired of all the skid marks from holding on to the old one.
Yes.
But it's interesting because, you know, when I got the feeling that this, and you know, and you and I haven't really had any good conversations because our lives are so busy. We do all of our talking when you come on the show, which means I'm just going to have you on the show a little more regularly.
I'm there, baby. You bet.
But when this happened, when I got the first hits about this thing hitting, like it in January, when there was the first little murmurs of it, I went and stocked up on everything. I was like,
me too.
This is, me yep, too. Yep. I was like, I can see the handwriting on this wall. And I said, I'm not going to say incorrectly. I think I know it happened perfectly, but I was thinking, I'm really going to have to move all of these in-person classes online. I'm going to have to get up on, make sure I have the most cutting edge technology. I know how to use it. I know how to jump on it. I know how to do it. I need to get this in place. And I hadn't been really doing a lot of that because I like the in-person teaching and I like the expo. Mm-hmm. And I like the face-to-face. You know, you and I come from a similar time period where, where there's just a lot of value in somebody's face, energy, handshake, hug.
And so, we're going to want it more once we're allowed to hug again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I put everything in place, set up all the stuff to transition all my classes on Zoom, thinking, that my classes are one of the ways that I, it's an income stream from my practice, And then my practice went crazy, went so crazy that I only did a few Zoom classes and ended up having to stop doing them because I literally didn't have the time because my clients almost tripled because it was such a need.
People are scared. People need us. Yeah. To help them hold on.
But now I have all of the skeletal work in place, Wei Qi University and places to do that. And I am bringing in the experts to set up all of the places that need to like work it on the social media and things like that, that I know there's going to be a time when I'll be like, it's time to go back out and do some classes. So do you see yourself moving into like classes, Zoom stuff?
I suppose I could. The thing that I love most though is, I was a theater major. I am a performer. Getting me in front of an audience, whether it's 20 or 2,000, and I'm up there and I'm doing the funny stuff, I'm inspiring. I love that. When I teach as a facilitator. For instance, let's take my class, Decadance. There, it's not just me pontificating about the cards. You got 12 people, let's say, you partner them off in groups of two, and they spend time reading each other and trading decks, and you can't really do that on Zoom, unless maybe you try breakout rooms. So that's the thing that I miss.
Okay, we're going to be right back as we talk to Corby Mitley, more about her new book, what's going on, and what 2021 is looking like for her, right here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on the last Thursday of the month of October, the last Thursday before the beginning of what is going to be the never-ending days, if not weeks on end, shit show. We're going to call an election this year. The last moment to have sanity before insanity run. Too late. Insanity's already running wild. And I'm here with Corby Lowe. Speaking of insanity, I'm here with Corby Mittley. Corby, what an introduction, right? Welcome back. Corby?
I'm here. I've been here. Hello, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Were you on mute? Okay. I thought I'd lost you for a second.
The Maine Coon steps on the mute button, and it's like you take the Maine Coon off the desk, and then you unmute the mute.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad I didn't lose you. So, again, reminders to our callers. You can call in with questions for Corby or myself at 202-570-7057. So we were talking about, you know, teaching. And you know, I also have a theater performance background. And know about feeding, you know, getting fed off of the interaction of the audience and stuff.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm really looking at doing a bunch of hybrids, which is part of what's when I have time to be in creation process, getting the information out that they can take on Zoom classes, doing some stuff, but building it towards you guys fly in for a weekend part of the intensive now that it's safe again. So that
I would be there for that. You bet.
Yeah. You know, so getting the IP, getting the stuff out, getting the basics out, but then having the showpiece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's what I'd invite you to think about. And hell, who knows? Maybe we'll decide to cross paths and do a joint weekend showpiece at some point.
Things
are possible.
Frightening, but fun.
Not frightening but for you or I, but the poor students. Go ahead.
Exactly. Now, what I've been doing more of, actually, is doing YouTube videos. And I know, my face is supposed to be on there, but I'm not that interested in that. My thing is my voice. So we've got guided meditation. There are several things about new tarot spreads I've done. And people love them because right there, it's not just a matter of me glurpy purpling at you about my thoughts about the universe. I mean, yeah, that's nice, but I'd rather give them something concrete to deal with. So far, that's how I'm doing my teaching. so they have bits and pieces. Are you doing any of the YouTube stuff as well?
I am doing short pieces. Dr. Kevin discusses, people send me a question, and I do a 3 to 5 minute video addressing the question.
Okay.
And then I do my monthly, which goes on YouTube as well, my monthly, like, voting as a spiritual practice or things like this. I keep on waiting, and you know, and I'm very lucky because, you know, there are a lot of people that this, you know, time of COVID has financially destroyed them, and people are, you know, not being able to pay rent or mortgage and are losing houses and food. And again, you know, I'm steadily doing 30, 35, sometimes almost 40 hours of actual clients a week. And that's just about my bandwidth you know, I'm between the weekly radio show and twice a month podcast, plus trying to get out any kind of content, but it will slow down at some point, either that or I'll die, one or the other. But that's okay.
No, you can't. We need you. We need our dose of outrageous, darling, and you're one of the best.
So you know, I'm plotting and planning in my head more stuff when it starts to slow down, and I'm just trying to bring together the team that can be putting together the bone work for me right now. So when I'm ready, I can drop it in. You know, I've got 4 new books out this year myself, and I'm on scale to get 4 more out next year.
You got me beat all to hell, baby. I didn't know that I could get 4 out a year.
Yeah, well, I cheat. 2 of them are poetry books, so it's more about formatting because the poems have been long written. But speaking of books, let's get back to your book.
Okay.
So give us the title again, because it's a long title, and I don't want to put any words in the wrong order.
The main title is You've Got the Magic, Who Needs the Genie?
Yes. Who Needs the Genie, yes. But you have a subtitle, too.
The A-Lister's Guide to Holistic Expo Success.
Okay. And I just want to urge all of my listeners, as they go run, not walk, but run to their closest Amazon purchase button, because this is available on Amazon.com, that they understand that it is for holistic expo success, but it's really about running a holistic successful practice. So much of what is in this book crosses over of what you need to be, what you need to do or be to be successful. And we, as we talked in the first segment, a lot of people are following this. I've always had the gifts. I've always wanted to be drawn to do something spiritual. I always felt like I was here to be a healer or work more with my psychic abilities. And they're taking that steps out, but they need a lot of handholding. And I think that this book can be a showpiece in their library.
I'd like to think so. There are some other books on running your spiritual business. I know that there was one a few years ago by my dear friend, Cindy Griffith Bennett. But my book is specifically about the grind, the everyday grind. And, you know, yes, I used to be in business. I used to be an executive recruiter. I know how the business world works, which is why I can stay on what I call the Twin Mountains, business practices and the wiki group. But in here, it's not just dry like a textbook. I mean, there's some stuff like Corby Gets Candid. A decade ago, I received an anonymous death threat on my show table one morning from someone who did not take kindly to my reading the day before. Because we had their handwriting on my sign-in sheet, which I just talked about in the chapter, and the note, we were able to match the two up, and the promoter, as was proper, took things from there with the local police. That's a perfect example for why you need sign-in sheets with a client. That's not the kind of thing that you would normally see mentioned in a standard book, but it happened to me. And if it happened to me, it might happen to the reader.
Well, you know, and what it says, part of what it also says is it speaks of the fact of you spoke truth. And oftentimes people have to understand that a lot of people choose to go to the holistic or go to a psychic or go to get a reading, but don't really want to hear what that practitioner has to say.
Oh, I know. I think that was a chapter in The Psychic Yellow Brick Road, which, you know, actually, that's the book that a lot of other readers, even though I wrote it for people who would like to go get psychic readings and don't know, they all started laughing. And the example that I used in there, it's in the chapter called When Getting a Reading Won't Help. Does Bruce think about me? No. Has he ever thought about me? Not the way you want. If I do such and such, will he think about me? No. Is he going to call soon? He isn't. Well, if he isn't going to call soon, is he going to call later? And the person keeps banging on the psychic until we finally go, yes, yes, he loves you and he wants 7 babies with you, but he just doesn't know it yet. Oh, good. Come on. You should not be having a psychic reading because it's obvious. You just want us to tell you what will make you happy in your playpen. Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Yeah, well, the people that work at my tables or when I work at shops, I come with a warning label. And I actually say at the beginning of every reading, no matter how many I'm doing, I can do 40 in a row, and I say it every time. Don't ask questions you don't want answers to.
Very smart.
And I, Corby, I'll be like, I know what you want to hear. You're not going to hear it here. I'm sorry you're not going to hear it here. This is what Spirit wants you to know. And perhaps if you listen to what Spirit wants you to know, you might not be this obsessed, addicted bitch. Oh, I'm sorry. You might not have this struggle.
Yes, but people also have a right to draw certain boundaries. For instance, me, I admit I am a total hypochondriac. So I tell a reader I go to, I do not want to hear anything about health. Thank you, because you can tell me 99% of me is fine, but my little toe has a question, and I will think I'm getting little toe cancer. So no, you don't talk to me about my health. And that actually does help the reader. They can concentrate on subjects that you do want to hear about. You're not telling them what you want to hear about it, but here are my boundaries. This part's okay. It's better for all of us.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I don't think we've ever had this part of the conversation before because, you know, I oftentimes, when I open up my flow, I always tell people I want to start with the flow and see what Spirit wants you to know, and then you can ask whatever questions you want. And that's when I say, but don't ask questions you don't want answers to. But I'm only ever going to ask for stuff that's in your highest and best good, and Spirit knows that I'll deliver whatever message I get. And I would have to assume that if the person says, I don't want to hear about health, that Spirit's not going to say anything about health. But I'm sure this has to happen to you. Sometimes things pop out of my mouth before I hear them. They're there.
They do. But in general, I have not had anyone. They always say, I don't want to hear anything bad. And then I have to explain to them, no. You have opportunities to go after and challenges to deal with. And the rest of it's free will and up to you. I'm not going to tell you anything bad because there isn't anything bad. It's a challenge. And they kind of get that idea. But, you know, you and I both know we're not the kinds that will go, oh, you have a family code. How many in your family? 4? You have dogs? No, we don't do that kind of shit.
No. Well, unless we're doing a stage play. And that's the role.
That's a little different.
So it's interesting because, you know, what I always tell people is, you know, if future's not in granite. When I tell you the energies of something, it's because these are energies you can influence, you can change, you can shift. And if you were looking right and a car was getting ready to hit you on the left, would you not want to know so you could look and make the choice to jump out of the way? I'm only going to tell you things that will empower you. And so, again, you know, we come from the same place, but it's interesting to hear. Don't you love having professional conversations on air?
I adore them. I really do, because, you know, it's not like we're going to go to the local business meeting and there are 72 dentists and 14 psychologists and maybe 18 baristas and how many psychics? So we don't get to do this very often. You know, as far as the whole thing about empowerment and free will, I just give myself the out. I say, look, even the best of us are only 85% accurate. The only one 100% accurate is God, and he doesn't have a booth at the fair this week. That covers it.
He reserved one, but he had to back out.
Yeah,
really
well,
sad.
You know. I know. Even God gets flat tires occasionally.
Actually, I don't think I'd ever want to be at a fair that God wasn't present. Not having a booth, because that's some rough competition, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I didn't say he wasn't there. I just said he didn't have a booth.
Booth. Oh, okay, okay, okay. Just checking.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
isn't he the great promoter? Can't we call God the great promoter?
The great promoter. Where you and I are just grand promoters. That would be 10 grand, please. No. Well, one of the reasons, and when we come back, I want to follow up a little bit more, but I want to hear about some of these chapters of your book, too. I want to make sure you get a chance to talk about it more. But we'll be right back with Corey Mittling, and we're talking about everything psychic here. And we're talking about her new book and her old book and her book yet to be written and her book that she forgot she wrote.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please, help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show this week on Om Time. Remember, we are a live call-in show, and if you're listening to us live, you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. You have, on today's dais, between Corby and I, easily, I was going to say close to, if not over, 100 years worth of holistic psychic experience. Now, they're not all in order. Neither one of us are that old. But if you put her and I together, I think you could hit that mark. What do you think, Corby?
Yeah, I'm afraid you could. Afraid you could.
Yeah. Now that I've made us both feel old, let's keep moving.
Yes.
But, you know, one of the benefits of this conversation, and one of the things I want to put out there is that sometimes spiritual teachers and readers and stuff like that take the approach of there's something wrong with them kind of showing their human side. And I know you don't feel that way, and I know I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. And in fact, sometimes, you know, I used to think about doing, a kind of invite some of my spiritual friends to just come in and do like a discussion on tape to talk about all of this stuff that you know, goes through our minds and the decisions we made and where did we fall down and, you know, we've all made some mistakes and we've all learned from them and we haven't learned from all of them and some of them come back and haunt us again. But I think that having real conversations with people that are actually living in their spiritual life and don't just preach it or don't pretend that somehow they can't have a bad day or they would never be depressed or they would never struggle. Like, they struggled once upon a time, but now all that struggle is behind them because they're enlightened. Okay. You and I know that's a load of crap. Yeah.
I know. There was a friend of mine who said, you must never put anything negative. That's not what your clients come to you for. I said, maybe not yours. Mine want to know that I'm human, that I get
yes.
where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. And, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm getting excited because I just got some work done on my fireplace, so it's going to work this winter, and I'm getting a load of wood in. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to sit in front of the fireplace, Facebook Live in somebody like you, and let's just talk to T about spirit and some of our funny stories and some of even our less flattering stories, but to make it human. I mean, I don't know. You're bringing that up in
That's,
me.
It's
when
a
I talk
whole
to you,
new idea. The whole new idea around fire sign theater. I'm so there. Yes. You get that together,
yep.
I'm there.
Okay. So, give us the name of the book again.
You've got The Magic, Who Needs a Genie? The A-Lister's Guide to Holistic Expo Success.
Now, before you talked about, and I agree with you, expos are going to come back. I'm never going to throw an expo again. I can do it. And people that went to my expos always said that they loved it because I was so aware of like the energy and creating the space and doing mm-hmm. everything right. I mean, I always got lots of stuff, but for what it took out of me and where it took me away from where I could be helping people in other ways, those days mm-hmm. are over for me. Just like your days of traveling to all of those are over in that kind of
yep.
way. But that being said, they are going to come back. There'll be a new generation of them. And, mm-hmm. We might go in and speak at one or, you know, offer something. But tell us, give us a highlight of the story or the chapter or somebody comes to you. Because somebody in my audience right now that is listening is going... Mm-hmm. I really want to put myself out as a holistic healer. Where do I begin? What would you say to them? And what chapter in your book would you point them towards?
Well, I
any of your books.
Put them to the foreword to understand why and how I did what I did. But I would say the chapter you need to look at first are the basics to see if this is something that you're willing to do. Because if you don't do these four, it's simply not going to work. And the basics are choosing which fairs to do, designing your booth look, dressing for psychic success, and choosing a front person. Those are the four things that you've got to get down solidly before you think you're going to start making money. You just do. And if you're not willing to work on those four things so that you come across professionally, then maybe you don't want to do fairs.
Yep. And it would drive me crazy. And one of the reasons I don't have any interest in ever being a fair promoter again is it would drive me crazy the level of unprofessionalism in the spiritual community that said it was okay because they were spiritual.
I know.
And you,
I know. Well, you
you've
see,
seen it. Yeah.
Please. That's why I say this is the A-lister's guide. All right. You've got a fair of, let's say, 50 booths. You're going to get some that have the crudely hand-lettered signs and the tablecloths that aren't straight, and they're there in jeans and a sweatshirt. And then you have the us's, because I'm including you, and the booth looks completely put together. We look professional. You know, the old saying, you got to look like you got money to make money. We have professionally printed information. We are always on time. We do not spend our time gallivanting around to other people. We do not gossip about other psychics. We treat it as a business. And as a result, the business treats us well.
And that's so beautiful. I have to tell you, that's so beautiful. I, for a long time, have always said I'm not very, quote unquote, popular in the spiritual world, because I never lost sight of the fact that I ran a spiritual business, because I opened my spiritual business in 1990. I'm not sure when you opened yours, but
94.
But, you know, in 1990, you'd go see me in a shop. I'd have my attaché case with me with planning my creating my marketing materials, planning my stuff. What was I going to do in between clients? You could come to me and I might be wearing a suit sitting in a little crystal store. And people would be like, oh, but then they would get readings with me and everybody would be like, oh, you got to go see him. You got to go see him. But be careful. But I would be like, I would go do a, like, I'm going to come do your fair, or I'm going to come, you know, teach at your shop. And I'd be like, okay, so, you know, like, what are your percentages? How are you marketing? What am I responsible for? What are you responsible? And people would look at me like I had two heads. Oh, just kind of show up and the right people come and it will be fine. I'm like, no, that's not how you do business. Spirit will take care of it. I think God takes care of those that take care of themselves. Now, let's talk about how you're promoting me.
My favorite German saying like that is begin to weave and God will give the thread. That's the deal.
Oh, I like that.
It's German, you know. But the way you talk about how other psychics may not like us, actually, we're a donut. The rookies love me because I invite them over to my table. I say, let me show you what I've done. Please feel free to ask any questions. Here are examples of the marketing stuff I use. You may not use the exact words. I will come after you if you do, because that's my gift. But anything else, yes. And they say, but you're not scared that we're going to take your business? I said, there are 8 billion people in the world. I can't read them all. And the other A-listers love us. It's the ones who are the demi-monde, the ones who are not willing to do the work or who are not sure of themselves and see it in a scarcity view. If Corby gets a reading, I won't get one. Those are the ones that don't like you and don't like me, because we're asking them to be mature professional adults and they don't know how to, and they don't want to be.
And there are those that have so much of their value and worth tied up in them being the most fabulous psychic there that they literally will try to sabotage the other, any other good psychics. I mean, like it's a competition. So there's the scarcity, but there's also the ego competition, which just like, oh, get away from me. Go ahead, comment on that.
Yeah, I got a story on that. My very, very favorite Canadian promoters, they are also out of the business, Stan Mallow and Ray Fauché, First Star. And they ran beautiful shows, brilliant shows. But there is this one husband-wife couple that was dumped very quickly because the husband, who was fronting for the wife that day, said that his wife was the only good psychic there, and it's a good thing you came to our booth, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sorry, at the door. That kind of horse hockey was not tolerated. So,
No.
When someone has to put down everybody else, don't trust them. Now, there were some psychics I would tell people not to go to. And one of the stories is in my Corby Gets Candid. There was somebody who has since passed, but when he read young girls, he would always come up with, there was a past life where they were his slave, or they were, he was still their master, and a lot of trauma. And we had to do damage control of that. You know, that kind of thing. No, you tell someone, don't go to Swami Swalanda. He is inappropriate and he is not professional. But other than that, no, take your chances.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have no problem saying that I spearheaded putting a couple of psychics that were abusing people out of business on a couple of different occasions, because they did the, you know, I'm going to give you a really cheap reading, but then you're cursed, you're this. I mean, I literally had a client that took a second mortgage on her house because this reader, we found out, would, if they heard certain last names, like of certain, like, you know, kind of ethnic backgrounds and things like this, she would say, oh, well, you know, your loved one hasn't passed on and they need help and I can help them do that and they're trapped. And she would take care of, she would do the vulnerable. She would actually go and read obituaries in the paper and see the family members. And then she'd suddenly reach out to one of them and say, I have a message from so-and-so that says that they're trapped and they wanted me to reach out to you.
That's a drive-by psychic shooting.
Nope. And I think that, you know, you cannot like somebody's style. You can like somebody's presentation. You can say, as a person, they're not my cup of tea. I don't have a problem with any of that. Different people, different strokes, different folks. It's all good. You're screwing all of us with those kind of games. I'm out for you. I am absolutely out for you. Because not only are you hurting the
right
vulnerable,
behind you,
but you're hurting the rest of us who are out there doing good work and have to deal with the blowback of this guy, Swami guy. Okay, so somebody comes to you and says, I don't know how to price or value my services. Is there anything in the book that would help that? And if
absolutely.
Not, what would you say to them? Okay, good.
Oh, no.
I figured
no, I'm
would
looking
be.
Up which chapter it is. How to charge what you're worth. There's a whole chapter on that. And we talk about, for instance, I tell people, write down this things like, people get clarity from my reading. My work helps relieve pain and soothe stress. I help people to connect with their loved ones for comfort and protection. And they go, yeah, but, and I say, now, people get clarity from Sonia Choquette's readings. Deepak Chopra's work helps relieve pain and stress. John Holland helps people to connect. And they say, oh, but them. I said, how do you know, not you? The thing is, yes, you have to balance. I charge more than someone who's been reading for 2 years because I've been reading since 1973. But at the same time, you've got to charge a reasonable amount so that if you want to make a living at this, you learn to. You're not going to do it right away, but you can build up to it. My prices are differentiated based on how much time I spend. A general reading costs less than a sentence of passion consultation where I have to prep, which costs a lot less than a soul plane reading where I'm in my chair for 12 hours doing the background work and the deep trance meditation. But I always downsell myself. If a general reading will do, I will not try and get you to have a soul plane reading. In fact, I won't let you have one. And that's the mark of an ethical professional. You charge enough that you feel well paid, but you don't fleece.
Yeah, well, and part of this is, and when you were talking about your four basics and to the expos, one came to me, the one thing that I would also would have, you know, said basic five or whatever is, make sure you know and have established your value and worth before you even consider doing this, because there are psychic vampires and energy leeches out there that will eat you alive on both walking by your booth and in other booths if you go in there and you haven't really, like, owned who you are and your value and your worth. And so
So not only dress professionally, dress your boots professionally, but have that air that any successful professional has that says, hey, I know I'm good. I'm good at what I do. And, you know, and stand in that truth and power. Or because I see the poor ones that have all sorts of raw talent, and they go in and they just get eaten alive at an expo because they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue on how anything works. They just stumble through. And
yeah,
it hurts my heart every time, because when you can see that they have a good intention and are just, and they're just fodder. They're just fodder for some of these fairs, because fairs don't always bring the nicest people. You know that, yep. And I know that.
I do.
Corby! Fabulous having
Sir.
You on.
Always
and they can go, you can go put Corby Millie's name in Amazon, bring up all the books she's written, and just get one of each. Christmas is coming. Give yourself a gift for somebody that you love. It is definitely worth the value. And we'll talk to you sometime in 2021. How does that sound?
I'm making your promise. You bet.
Okay, honey. Have a good night. Next week, we'll have Matt Connerton doing post-election discussion here on the Dr. Kevin Show.